Let's go back to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, before we read your word and share in your message this morning, we come to you in thanks. We ask your blessings on the word, the reading this morning. We ask that you be with us through the message. Help us to allow it to resonate into our spirits and into our hearts so that we can act upon it, not only while we're here, but when we leave here. Again, we ask your blessings on our gathering this morning as we worship you, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So our message this morning is entitled Still Standing. It comes from 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 18. I'm in the New Living Translation. This is the very first letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians. And it begins with the greetings from Paul. And it says the following. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and from our brothers and sisters. I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be His own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as He did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and also peace. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts He has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through Him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says, and He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in your church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels. Some of you are saying I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying I follow Apollo, or I follow Peter, or even I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not, Paul says. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you. For now no one can say they were baptized in my name. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, Paul says, but to preach the good news and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning and welcome back to worship. As Cindy said, it's always good to see your smiling faces. I wish a little sunshine would beam through those windows, brighten you guys up a little bit, but it is good to see you. This morning we have read from the words of our Apostle Paul in a letter which he wrote to the Corinthians. In this letter he writes it to a people who are much like you and I are today. Scripture describes Corinth as a melting pot with great diversity. Ethnic groups, religions, intellectual perspective, and moral standards, as it's described. Sounds all too familiar. It sounds like where we live, the state we live in, the nation we try to uphold, the constitution we follow as free people. Now, this city had a reputation of being fiercely independent and was decadent. most decadent of any other city in its time. Sounds all too familiar, doesn't it? Living in the nation known to be the greatest nation ever devised in the world of free people, a republic brought to you from our past, our founders. Now, Corinth had its own issues. Idolatry, crime, turmoil, pagan temples that employed more than 1,000 prostitutes, and the list goes on and on. To say it was a city without sin and judgment is inaccurate. However, within its walls were believers who had to deal with many of these deeply rooted problems, habits, and attitudes as they sought to nurture their relationship in Christ and build a church. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Here we are living in a world that we believe to be in turmoil, and who we are, the believers, and we're nurturing ourselves and each other and also God's church in this world that seems to become stranger and stranger by the day. Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians. He shares his view, just like he would if he were standing here today. I think he would write the letter again. And in fact, I think he could have titled the letter, "Dear Friends at Bethel," instead of "Dear Friends in Corinth." Although there were problems among the believers in Corinth, as there are problems among us, like there is in every church and every walk of faith in the world, Paul begins his letter to them in a positive note. Paul understands that confronting others on their shortcomings is not easy, and it's more effective if they do this with a little bit of tact and just a tad of diplomacy. Paul always understands to be heard by those who you are speaking to, you must share the good things first and then share the things they need to hear. This morning's message will be pointed. So I share with you this morning, before I continue, you're a wonderful people. You're a loving congregation. You share of yourselves like no other. My wife and I and our daughter are blessed to be among you. You are truly Christ's disciples. You work hard at it every day. But I'm going to ask more of you this morning. You see, I'm called to be your shepherd, at least for now. I'm called to lead you in worship. I'm called to stand up here and give you a message that you can use. It doesn't come without an ask or an expectation. As we read into this letter, some of the Corinthian people followed the human wisdom of the day, which called into question the salvation Christ offers. You see, we're guilty of that too. We fall into following wisdom of today, following the wisdom of the world, and we kind of leave the absolute truth for a bit, and it causes other people who see us to question who we truly are as we represent Christ in a tumultuous world. But the reason that they question themselves, or at least the reason I believe they question themselves, is because the obligation or the requirement is so simple, it's almost unbelievable what Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians. They simply couldn't wrap their heads around how easy it was to follow God. Surely we need to do something. But Paul says, no. All you have to follow God is an accepting heart, and He will forgive you. He will forgive you as freely as He gave of His Son for your forgiveness. You see, Christ did this for us on the cross. But certainly we have to pay something. Where do we sign up to catch this train? It's got to cost us something. I'm not talking about monetary value. I'm talking about anything. It's got to be something. It's got to task us with something. There must be a cost somewhere. Well, it is. It comes in the scripture I read to our young people. Deny yourself. That's all you have to do. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. It's that easy. It's so simple, you can't get past it. You don't have to read a book. You don't have to study for a test. You don't have to pass a test. Now, when your teachers are looking at you in the choir saying, "We got a problem," you got to fix that. But you don't have to pass a test to follow God. Okay? The beauty of this passage is that Paul made it clear that we need to do nothing but have willing hearts to receive God's power and forgiveness. That's it. It's that simple. We learn in this passage we have no power or ability to overcome the power of sin in our lives. That means we don't have it. We can't get it. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It don't matter what status we have in the community. We do not have the power. We do not have the armies of power to combat sin. The only way we can do it is through God Himself. In fact, this passage teaches us that a life that is self-sufficient is ultimately a life that is self-destructive. In other words, you cannot make it on your own. It takes a relationship with Christ to make it. That's the only way. Each of us must surrender to God. We must agree to accept His way. We must look at the cross as the way. The way of the cross for me and for you equals our personal ability to receive God's power and grace. For without it, we would be lost. Had He not taken it to Calvary, had He not carried the cross to Calvary, He just went on the cross. The stakes that we face today may be different, but He didn't. He carried your cross to Calvary, and then He died. You are forgiven, but you have to do something, and that's have a willing heart and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. But I want to take you to the very last words Paul says in this passage. He writes in this passage what I believe are the most important words in this entire passage. And he says some wonderful things in here, but these I think are the most important. And at one point, this is truly the reason the message is titled the way it is, and it's the point of the message. Paul writes, "For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but He sent me to preach and share the good news without clever speech, for the fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power." In layman's term, Christ needs His disciples to preach and to teach the truth found in the Holy Word, so that the cross of Christ will remain standing and be as powerful today as it was when Christ carried it Himself and died upon it on Calvary. We don't need your impression of the Word, God says. We don't need your take of the Word. Here's where the toe-stepping comes. We need you to teach the Word and preach the Word. You're the disciples. You're blessed. But this is our foundation. This is what Christ is calling you to take up. Friends, your salvation is simple. My salvation is simple. All it takes is simply a willing heart. And Scripture declares that we are forgiven, but not without effort or work. In the young people's message, Christ said, "Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Me." Well, take up, as I told them, is not an order. It's simply an invitation. But when you take it up, it's a game changer. Serving God, serving Christ is a game changer in your life. So here is the point, the true point of the message. Jesus and Paul aren't talking about taking up the cross found in this church, wherever it may be erected. It's not talking about the cross that's on the Christian flag. It's not talking about the cross that ordains your jewelry, around your bracelet, or around your neck. It's not talking about those crosses. It's not talking about the crosses that all of us carry in our pockets that we share with other people. Friends, they are talking about the cross that still stands today, some 3,000 plus years later, in a ministry for Jesus Christ, the church that Paul helped build. That cross is the church. It's not the one in the woods that's the replica of the cross that Christ died on. It's the church itself. The building you're sitting in is the cross. The people you're being loved by, they are the cross. The people that are nurturing you, they are the cross. The people you nurture, you are the cross. The cross is still standing and it's living and breathing in each one of you today. We need to relish in that victory. I'm totally taken back by why we have empty pews. Blows me out of the water. Because we are victorious. But yet we can't seem to garner that energy to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take it up and share it with the world is the call. That's what he's asking you to do. If you deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me, it's a game changer. For many people, the cross is a symbol of pain, a symbol of suffering, a symbol of forgiveness. For many, it's a symbol of hope and love and justice, sacrifice. For me, it's a symbol of freedom, true freedom. You see, this message could be preached in Russia. This message could be preached in Africa. This message could be preached all around the world. You don't need to be a free people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is free. The cross means freedom, and so does this church. Not just the physical building, but those who are gathered here. The cross has to be more to us than two huge structured timbers that garner the leather by which they bound him to, the nails that they drove through his feet and his hands, and the blood that stains on them. It has to be more than that. It has to be more than what we carry in our pocket. Yes, that's a symbol, but it doesn't speak to the living, breathing, standing cross today, which is the church. In short, we have to deny ourselves and take up that cross. What Jesus is asking you to do is preach and teach the gospel so that the cross of Christ will not lose its power. That's what Paul is explaining to us in this scripture. For if this is a living, breathing group of people, a Christian-based organization following the gospel to the letter, and preaching and teaching the gospel in the world, the cross of Jesus Christ never loses its power. So here's the deal. You have to preach it. You have to teach it. The cross is you and me, living examples of what Jesus suffered for. Christ is calling you to take up the cross. That means he's calling you to serve in the church. Serve in any capacity. Roll up your sleeves and go to work. It doesn't matter if you've been there before. Go back to work. Our work for God never stops. It never stops. Ever. Doesn't matter how old we are. We go back to work. Serve this church in any capacity. Be a living and breathing part of Christ's ministry here at Bethel. Get up out of your pews. Volunteer. Do something in the name of this ministry. For it still stands as the representative of Christ and His sacrifice for me and you. Be a part of those who draw water and fill the well here. Don't be the guys who come on Sunday and draw from the well. Be the guys who fill the living water. Be the people who bring the living water to the fountain. You can also be the people that draw it. But more importantly, be those who carry it. Be those who share it. Be those who preach it and teach it. For it is our salvation. Be that salvation for those who have not experienced the freedom of the cross that you and I have. Because you are the cross. It's not just an emblem standing in a rock foundation in the middle of our woods. It's the emblem that's living and breathing inside of this church in these pews. Christ's disciples are sent to speak the word. So the cross of Christ will never lose its power. Stop for a second, just for a second in your busy lives. Put aside the things that are not important. Take care of the needs that are. And serve Christ first. Look around you. Take a moment and look around you. Look behind you. Look in front of you. Look beside you. You see, the cross is still standing. I see it in your faces. Jesus asked you to take up your cross. It's not my response He's waiting on. It's yours. He simply asked you to take up the cross. It's the same one He died for. Be worthy to carry it. He's calling upon you to do that. Serve the church. Amen.